Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
On this episode of the Football's History Headlines, we discuss a shortened exhibition game that gets the ire of the fans. Waller steps down as the top dog of the WFL, and the Army wants restrictive football, as well as many other Hall of Fame legendary stories, and it's all coming up in just one moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the universities of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and we are bringing you your football history headlines for the date of July 23rd as our data topic, and we have some really good ones. And we're going to go right to our newspapers.com football history headline of the day, and it's from the famous sport rights writer Grantland Rice in an article found on the July 23rd, 1943 edition of the Harrisburg Telegraph in Pennsylvania. And it says, Army inductees still barred from playing college football. The article by Rice points out that during this wartime era, that the Army and Navy placed specialized training schools at college campuses throughout the country to cover the large body of service people that needed training in a war effort. The two branches looked at football at these trainees at totally different points of view. The Naval Command saw the gridiron as a training regimen for its future soldiers and gave them excellent workouts for physical conditioning, as well as provide tactical planning exercises. The Army, though, they believed that the colleges, with West Point as the exception, should be abandoned from playing football and focus on their studies and their training. Grantland Rice put it his two cents worth, saying that he felt Navy colleges had a much higher morale in place and that their students than their counterparts did. And one reason was because of the game of football. So higher morale at the Navy colleges, a little bit lesser at Army. And he felt that football was behind that, playing football at those branch colleges. Not the Naval Academy, not West Point, but the alternative schools for training soldiers. Our next headline is Waller steps down. July 24th, 1975, Ron Waller, the 42-year-old head coach of the World Football League's Philadelphia Bell, resigns his position, stating personal reasons, according to an article in the Bloomington, Illinois Pantograph on July 24th, 1975. Bell's offensive line coach, Joe Giugiardi, took over as the interim coach. There were reports circulating that former Green Bay standout Willie Wood was in strong consideration to take over the post as a permanent replacement to Waller. Now, another newspapers.com football history headline comes from the July 25th, 1976 edition of the Pacific Daily News with their post of Steelers romp past All-Stars 24-0, shortened game angers fans. Yes, this one tells of the July 24th, 1976 final edition of the Chicago College All-Star Game that was played as 52,895 fans saw the world champion Pittsburgh Steelers blank the college players 24-0. A torrential rainstorm hits Soldier Field with 1:22 remaining in the third period, and the officials decided to call the exhibition contest at that point. This caught the ire of the crowd, and it was hungry for football that they stormed on the field, tore down the goalposts, and just made havoc on all over the field. Pittsburgh kicker during the game, Roy Girella, booted three field goals, while star running back Franco Harris and upstart Tommy Raymond punched in third quarter TDs for the champs before the rain. This game ended the tradition of the NFL champions playing the rookie all-star team for fear of teams of getting their star players hurt. Now, we have another subject for July 24th, and it says Seattle losing its roof. July 24th, 1994 is determined by safety engineering authorities that all of the kingdom and Seattle's 40,000 ceiling tiles needed to be replaced. Apparently, during repairs on the outside of the dome, contractors had trouble removing the old roof material using a dry sandblasting method, so they tried using a pressure washer to remove the coating. Water apparently seeped inside where the 26-pound ceiling tiles were, and four of these crashed to the empty stands prior to a Seattle Mariners game while the team was just warming up. With the cost of replacement being too large to justify the plans for a new stadium, it went into action. Now, so that was sort of the end of the Seattle's Kingdom. The Kingdom was the home of Seattle Seahawks, the NBA Supersonics, Major League Baseball Seattle Mariners, and the now-defunct North American Soccer League Seattle Sounders. That iconic stadium serviced these teams from 1976 all the way to 1998. In 1999, the dome was purposely imploded as a new stadium was being built, Century League Stadium for the Seahawks and their fans, and the 12th man to join autumn Sunday afternoons in. What a great stadium that is. I've never been there, but boy, does that look nice on television when you see those games there. Now if you want to get some free 7 days from newspapers.com, be able to read newspapers.com articles yourself, you can get a free on us for 7 days. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers and you'll get 7 days of great reading for free. And then if you decide to subscribe after that, some of the proceeds will help benefit this podcast and others on the sportshistorynetwork.com website, helping us to bring you great sports history. That's all important. Also, another one of our sponsors is the Row One brand. And boy, do they have some nice stuff. They have a gallery. Their Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game programs, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item can be printed on a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And at the Row One shop, you can look at even more thousands of unique items of retro and historical designs dating all the way back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/ROW1 for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gift items. Plus, you can get a 15% discount. Yes, you are listeners, 15% off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with a coupon code of SHN15. Make sure you put that in there. sportshistorynetwork.com/ROW1 SHN15 for that 15% discount and decorate that man cave, woman cave, she shed, whatever you want to do. Put that great sports history in your place where you dwell. And I think you will definitely appreciate that offer and the 15% off. That's big. Now, we don't have any birthdays of Hall of Famers today, but we're going to give you some birthdays of people that aren't yet in the Hall of Fame. Let's say that. Some significant VIP football birthdays. July 23rd, 1976, Matt Burke, a center from Harvard University, was born on this day. And Mr. Burke was drafted as 173rd overall pick in the 1998 NFL draft by the Vikings. The center was selected to 6 Pro Bowls wearing a Minnesota uniform. And after playing 10 seasons with the Vikes, he moved on to play with the Baltimore Ravens for an additional 4 seasons. Had a great career there, too. July 23rd, 1989, K.J. Wright, a linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks. His birthday celebrator as well on this day. Mr. Wright was selected to represent the NFC in the 2016's season's Pro Bowl. And for more stats on people born on July 23rd, check out profootballreference.com. Click on that July 23rd date and you will see all your football heroes that were born on the July 23rd that played in the professional game. And if you want to learn more about sports history, go to sportshistorynetwork.com. Check out all of our great podcasts. There, 21 of us all together, bringing you great sports content of the historic games that you love to watch and listen to and read about, and we bring them to life because we have some great guests coming on. The hosts are very informative and bring you the facts. That's all we want is the facts to fill our brains with. Can't get enough sports history, and especially with the Olympics going on, you want to get some Olympic history. We have some great things going on there. You can also check us out at the Pigskin pigskindispatch.com, our website. We have all of our blog posts and podcasts there. And, you know, it is the portal to positive football history. We hope that you enjoy that. A lot of bonus editions, and we're covering some things on our Football by Numbers series is on there. We're trying to cover all these early professional teams before World War II. We have some inspirational sensations, some great athletes that really went over and above on off of the football field to help others in their communities, and we try to salute those and great people. That's what we're talking about, positive football history. And you know, if you have anything that you'd like to add, we'd sure love to hear from you, get some feedback from you. I'll personally answer the email. It's pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Make sure you do that. Follow us on Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch. Facebook page is Pigskin Dispatch, and we also post on LinkedIn and as Darren Hayes, and on the subreddit of Our Sports History as Pigskin Dispatch. You can find us all those different places. We hope to hear from you. We hope you listen again, and we thank you for joining us once again today. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.